This is Every Single Saint.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Every Single Saint. Thank you for tuning into this one to listen. We are going to dive into some great stories today. If you have not, please go listen to the intro episode first, as that will give helpful information. If you have listened to the intro episode, maybe you could also listen to episode one first before episode two. But if you want to just start at episode two, that's great. Also, we are about to dive right in. So saint number one of the day, and that is Saint Joseph, a well-known, a popular saint, the husband to Mary and the father to Jesus, or the caretaker of Jesus. Jesus is not his offspring, his seed, his genetics. He did raise Jesus, married to Mary. And we already spoke about Saints Joachim and Anne, so he's their son-in-law. He is from Nazareth, same place that they say Jesus is from, same place they always say, nothing comes out of Nazareth. Well, not only did Jesus come out of Nazareth, which is the best thing to come out of Nazareth, but so is Joseph, who's great. We know that his occupation is a carpenter. We know that Jesus was raised as a carpenter. Saint Justin Martyr, who was an apologist in the second century, wrote a lot about Christian history and the church and Christianity and defended the faith to the Roman emperor. We will get to Justin Martyr in 100-something years. Not 100 years in this time, but 100 years from when Joseph and Mary were around is when we'll get to Justin Martyr. He wrote that Saint Joseph made, specifically in his carpentry, he made yokes and plows. Don't know if that's 100% true, but I think it's a kind of cool symbolism that he made yokes and plows, and he also raised Jesus, and Jesus is our yoke, often symbolizes our yoke. And we are yoked to Jesus. So, yeah, he's not mentioned a lot in scripture. You know, he actually never has a speaking, there's no verse of him speaking. His thoughts are implied and his plans and everything, but he never speaks. So a common nickname for him is the Silent Saint. But yeah, he's in the nativity stories, we all know. He's in the presentation at the temple, which we've already been through in this podcast. And he is in the story of when they lose Jesus at the temple, when they go to the temple and then leave with the crowd and they can't find Jesus and they have to go back and Jesus was at the temple the whole time. So that's the last we hear of him is when Jesus is 12 years old. And so there's the assumption that sometime between then and when Jesus started his ministry, which we think is when Jesus was 30-ish years old, late 20s, 30, sometime in there, Joseph passed. A couple ways that we might know this is that after Jesus died on the cross and his body was taken down, a person by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, which is not Joseph, husband to Mary, father of Jesus of Nazareth, Joseph of Arimathea takes care of, and Nicodemus, takes care of Jesus's body, which normally would have been entrusted to the father if the father was alive. So since it's not noted that Joseph, the father, caretaker of Jesus, took Jesus's body after the crucifixion, we think that, you know, that's a good indicator. Another way that we might know that is that when Jesus is on the cross, we know in the Gospel of John that when he's on the cross, we know that Mary is there at the crucifixion to witness it. And the only apostle that was there of the 12 was John. He was also there at the crucifixion. And Jesus, while hanging on the cross, looks to his mother, Mary, and says, "Behold your son," and gives Mary John as her son following this event. And he looks to John and says, "John, behold your mother," and looks to Mary. So he's entrusting his mother to John moving forward, which is an interesting thing to do if Joseph were still around. So he's basically saying, you know, "John, I'm dying. I'm giving you my mother. Mary is now your mother to take care of." So yeah, that's just another common indicator that Joseph has already passed. So yeah, and that's all we get from him out of the scriptures. So instead of focusing on some of the stories that you probably already know from the scripture, I want to tell one of that's actually just 150-ish years ago. And that is the story of the stairway in the Loreto Chapel in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So this is in New Mexico, not the old one. And there's a chapel there called Loreto Chapel. It's in Santa Fe. It's 150 years ago, Wild Wild West. And the chapel was built and placed under the care of the Sisters Loretto, which is just a group of nuns that were going to have a girls' school at this chapel. So they built the chapel, and the chapel has the main level of pews, and in the back, in the second level, there was a choir loft. But the architect and the person building the building died before building the staircase up to the choir loft. And I don't know what the original architect's plan was when he died, but other builders came along and said, I don't think there's really a good way to get stairs up there. You should just tear down the choir loft. But I guess the nuns really, really, really wanted this choir loft. So as the story goes, the nuns prayed a novena dedicated to St. Joseph. And a novena is a 9-day prayer. You say a prayer for every day for 9 days. And at the end of the 9 days, a man shows up and says, hey, nuns, I'll build the staircase. And they're like, really? And he's like, yeah. But I only have one request, and that is that I get complete and total privacy. So they're like, okay, this guy likes to build his staircases alone. So the nuns leave him alone, and he goes in the building. And as the story goes, no one ever saw anyone going in and out of the building. They actually never even saw wood being brought into the building. 3 months later, they check on it. The man's gone, and the staircase is done. It's a spiral staircase that goes from the first floor to the second floor up to the choir loft. No one ever saw the man again. And other architects came in and said, they looked at the staircase and said, the first time this was ever used, it should have collapsed. It is an architectural miracle. No one's ever been able to explain how the staircase was built and why it works. And no one has any idea where the wood came from. So it just became legend that that was the carpenter himself, Saint Joseph, that came and built them a staircase miraculously using the power of God. So just a really cool story. Joseph was born sometime BC, and he died definitely after when they lost Jesus at the temple, and sometime before Jesus started his ministry. His feast day is March 19th, and he is the patron saint of many things, one being the Catholic Church itself. He's the patron saint of the Catholic Church. He's the patron saint of fathers, which makes sense, of workers. He's the patron saint of married people. We know that he was a good and faithful husband. He's the patron saint of persons living in exile. Not quite sure the connection, but if you're living in exile and spending your time listening to podcasts and listening to this, we're praying for you. He's the patron saint of the sick and dying. So we want to definitely lift up all those that are sick and lift them up in prayer. And he is also the patron saint for a holy death. So I pray for all of us to experience a holy death. So Heavenly Father, guide us to be as faithful and obedient and as loving and gentle as Saint Joseph. We pray that in our marriages and and the fathers and the workers, all of us, that we seek the Holy Spirit in everything that we do, that through everything we do, we bring you glory as Saint Joseph did in everything that he did. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. As you probably guessed, after Joseph, we're going to talk about Saint Mary, mother of Jesus, great, great woman, daughter of Joachim and Anne, husband to Joseph, and one of the more well-known characters of the Gospels. Her yes to the Lord to birth our Messiah and raise Jesus reflects her holy, holy obedience that is really, really inspiring. So she's actually not mentioned a ton in the Gospels. Luke mentions her the most. If you're familiar with the first couple chapters of Luke, they're really long and have a long narrative of the infancy narrative of Jesus and nativity. And it also has the infancy of John the Baptist, which we'll get to. Matthew only mentions her five total times. Mark only mentions her once. And Gospel of John mentions her twice, but never by the name Mary, only by the mother of Jesus. So I'll quickly go through some of the more major events of Mary's life that we know. So first is the Annunciation. And what we think is the case here is that Mary and Joseph were actually already married. And by that, I mean that in those times, there were two stages of the wedding. And the first stage of the marriage, Joseph and Mary had already completed, and they were officially married. And during the first and second stage, the two people live in separate places, and the man prepares the home. You know, they get a house or build a house or save money to buy a house. And during this time, the two people live in separate places. And we think that this is the stage of the marriage that Joseph and Mary were in during the Annunciation. And that brings me to the second major moment, and that's the Visitation. It would make sense that they were in this first stage of marriage because Mary goes alone to visit Elizabeth. We might think that, you know, maybe she'd bring Joseph along. But Joseph is probably off getting the house ready. So Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and as we know the story goes, John the Baptist leaps in the womb and is the first person, other than probably Mary, to recognize Jesus for who he was. John the Baptist recognized the presence of God in the womb and leapt. Next obvious major moment was the birth of Jesus, which was in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, interesting fact, means house of bread. And Jesus was born in a manger, which is a feeding trough. We know the word manger comes, if you know what the word to eat in French is, manger, manger. It's a feeding trough. So those are really cool symbolisms that Jesus is the bread of life. Next, we have the wedding at Cana. This is the first miracle of Jesus in his public ministry. And he does the miracle at the request of Mary. And it's interesting fact, the wedding at Cana is the only back and forth conversation that Jesus and Mary have in all of the Gospels. All the other things that one of them says to the other is like a one-liner. Next, we have the crucifixion. Blessed Mary, so strong, was one of the only people that was on like Team Jesus. You know, the disciples, the followers, Mary. She was one of the only ones that actually had it in her to attend the crucifixion and was bold enough to attend. And earlier when I was talking about Saint Joseph, and I mentioned that Jesus entrusted his mother to John, that happens here as well. Behold your son, behold your mother. And then the last time she mentioned is early on in Acts. She is mentioned to be in the upper room where Jesus and everyone is gathered. So you may be wondering, the host of this podcast is a Roman Catholic. Is he going to discuss any Catholic-specific Mary topics? And I didn't necessarily want this podcast to be an apologetics podcast where I'm defending certain aspects of the faith, although sometimes I may, depending on how the Lord leads me. And so I didn't want to go too long or too deep, as all of the different discussions around Mary can be, we could spend hours and hours on each topic. So I prayerfully discerned what I might say and what I might talk about. And there are two different areas that came to mind. And I'm not going to spend too long on them, but I just think it'll be interesting if I sprinkled some color on these topics so that if anyone out there is ever discussing them, this information might lead to some more helpful conversations. So the first is the title that you'll often hear Catholics, probably Eastern Orthodox, maybe Anglicans, give to Mary, and that is Mother of God. And so I think that this title stirs up some, I don't know, interesting thoughts and questions from those Christians who don't often use this title to describe Mary or talk about Mary. They don't often say Mother of God or Mother of Jesus. Oh, they would say Mother of Jesus, but Mother of our Lord, et cetera, et cetera. And so I just wanted to clarify, you know, a little bit, a couple things. One is in the Gospel of Luke, during the visitation, one of the first things that Elizabeth says to Mary is, "The mother of my Lord." Elizabeth in scripture calls Mary mother of my Lord. So I would say that the title mother of God is scriptural, evidently right there. And also you can kind of deduce this title from a few truths that all Christians believe. One, Mary is Jesus's mother. Two, Jesus is God. So putting those two together, Mary is Jesus's mother. Jesus is God, so Mary is God's mother. And what we say when we say that Mary is God's mother, we just mean that God created his own mother. I mean, I think we can all agree God is all-powerful and can do whatever he wants and create whoever he wants. So Mary is a created being. She is human. She is finite. She has no power or knowledge that other humans don't. We just say that God created his own mother. In fact, God created his own ancestors. If we think that Joachim and Anne are Mary's parents, then you could say God created his own grandparents. And we believe that because of the hypostatic union that's within Jesus. We believe that Jesus has a human nature and a divine nature. He is truly human and truly God, and those things cannot be separated. So if you're the mother of the human in Jesus, then you're also the mother of the God in Jesus. So that's really all we mean. See, I just wanted to throw a couple clarifiers out there regarding that title. That's really why we use it and the reasoning behind it. So the second area I wanted to talk about, and I'm also not going to talk about this for very long because we could spend a really long time on it, and that is that Catholics worship Mary. So you probably, if you're Catholic, you've definitely heard that from Protestants. If you're Protestants, you may have heard that. You may have said it, or you may have heard it from someone else. And so why do Protestants say this? I think it's very reasonable and understandable coming from the perspective that a lot of the things that the Catholics do regarding Mary is very foreign. That's the word I like to use when I think a lot about this, is Catholics have statues and prayers and devotions and titles like Mother of God, and they use all these things that Protestants, they're not accustomed to, they're not used to, and a lot of Protestants grew up Protestant their whole life. So this devotion is something that is foreign to them, and so they don't truly understand where the Catholics are coming from and the perspective of the Catholics. And so it just came along eventually that Catholics worship Mary. And for Catholics, like I said, it's very, very normal. So, you know, in previous decades and centuries, they haven't had to sufficiently explain some of these things. And so, but in the past couple of decades, these conversations are happening more and more frequently and more people are understanding. So I just wanted to touch on this quickly. And the common response you'll hear is that Catholics don't worship Mary, we venerate her. And venerate is a fancy word for respect. Regard, respect, honor. You know, honor thy father and mother. And if you Google the definition of worship, interestingly, it says the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity is the last word in the definition. So just in case anyone was wondering, I will make it super abundantly clear. The Catholic Church in no way whatsoever teaches that Mary is a deity. Like I said earlier, she is a created human being. There's really two types of beings. There's an uncreated, and there's only one of those, and that is God. And then there is the created, and that's every other being other than God, and they're all created. So she's finite. Like I said, she has no power, knowledge. I mean, now that she's in heaven, then she's in full communion with God and everyone else in heaven. They probably have a lot of knowledge and understanding of things that we don't hear on earth. But so yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. You know, maybe it'll lead to some better quality conversations around what veneration means and how we should and could respect very, very holy people. And often the conversation turns to what sort of admiration and adoration and worship do we give God because he is a deity and he is our creator? And then what sort of respect do we give humans that we regard very, very highly? That's essentially what it comes down to. So thanks for letting me dive into those two topics. So Mary was also born sometime B.C. I'm not quite sure when we're going to get to the first saint that is born A.D., but we will. And she died sometime after the Ascension. Sometime after Jesus went to heaven, so did Mary. Her feast day is January 1st. Happy New Year. So Mary is the patron saint of so many things that she has her own Wikipedia page. That the entire Wikipedia page is titled Patronage of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So she is the patron saint of all sorts of occupations, professions. She's the patron saint of who knows how many churches and cities and places. I think that if I took all of these and put them together and lifted them all up in prayer, it might contain everyone in the world. So that's great. Let's pray for everyone in the world. All the occupations and places and things that Mary is the patron saint of, lift them all up in prayer. And Lord God, our Creator, thank you for creating Mary and giving her her blessedness and gentleness. And thank you for giving us the story of the Nativity and the Visitation and the wedding at Cana. We want to look at these scriptures prayerfully and use them to grow closer to you. Lord God, I pray for all mothers and all sons and lift them up in prayer, and that your Holy Spirit come on them and dwell in them. And Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Thank you for listening to today's episode. As the listener, you are always in my prayers. I hope that I am in yours. Please find us on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a follow. If you have more than one of those things, follow us on all of them. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Instagram. Thank you so much for your support. Patron saint of the podcast, Saint Nicholas, pray for us.